Hi, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T, your host. Hallelujah. I'm excited, and I have great joy that I get to present the Word of God to you. And so I've been doing, if you've been following me, the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, just doing a general overview. Basically, you can go to our website, www.loveexample, and look at the archives there. I got them numbered. I believe this is number 9. And it'll be our last one on the Beatitudes. I just did an overview. And bottom line, I just talked about how Jesus is preaching his first sermon after his wilderness temptation and being filled up with the Spirit. And now he's coming in and beginning teaching the attitudes that he wants his followers to have. Not what other people say, not what we think, not what pastors and teachers try to tell you, but what his word says. And so he said, I came and I fulfilled the whole law of God. I'm the perfect 100% person that I became sin for you so you could have my righteousness. So here's how I want you to be. And so he shows us in the Beatitudes. Now, today I want to talk about being that cheerful giver, because the greatest giver, the greatest example would have been him, right? And still is. But I talked a lot about the very first blessing that he says, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, if you want to be content, if you want to be what God has called you to be, created you to be, and designed you to be, and that basically being blessed, because you got to be blessed, and the way you'll be blessed is recognizing that you are poor in spirit. Remember, I talked about that on my other episodes, that we're not just a physical body. We're spirit beings created in the image of God and recreated in Christ. So we're spiritual beings, because God is spirit, Christ is spirit, so the Holy Spirit is spirit. Invisible forces, but with real personality entities. And so that's what we have. And so in order for us to worship God, to relate to God, to relate to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we got to do it from our spirit to his spirit, which is Romans 8, 16. So he says, but you got to recognize that you're poor in spirit to be born again. You can't do anything. They say there's a lot of religions, but I'm come down to the bottom line. There's only two. God's divine accomplishment and human achievement. And God has divinely accomplished what it takes for us to be right with him, to be accepted by him, and that is through the blessed blood of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial Passover lamb, Jesus Christ and him crucified, because he's the only perfect 100% man that satisfied God's demands, okay? And not only did he pay for our sins and took our place, but he gave us his righteousness, which makes us brand new created spiritual beings. So that's how we relate to him. It's all by faith. The just that have been saved live by faith. You just have to believe what the scriptures say. So while we're born again and got a brand new position, this is in my book, Do You See What I See? We have to constantly renew our minds. If you really want to see the change and the transformation of this spiritual position that God has given us, these blessings, it only comes by for you seeing it in your life. You have to believe it to receive it. Then once you receive that position, to see it being performed in your life, you have to renew your mind. Because not only, as I've said before, when we got born again, only our spirit was born again. Our mind, our old toxic thinking ways of acting, they did not die. Okay? But the power of them, which is sin, was crucified, nailed to the cross with Christ. And so that's why we have the power now to, all we need to do is get out there and dig in a garden and pull up those toxic weeds. Or as my students say, we wax on and wax off. So the degree that you want to see the change in your life, it's as a believer, it's only going to come by you renewing your mind. And in my book, I have a plan, a 3M plan called a memorize, meditate, and mouth it. And you can get that, my book, at www.loveexample.com. We actually study that book every Wednesday night here at the home. It's turned into a woman's Bible class, but I wouldn't turn away a man. But for right now, women are coming to that class. And we just study the Word of God, and we're just open and transparent, memorizing scriptures and going according to the information that God has given me in my book. And right here on page 114, if you read that, you get my book. I have a plan in there that talks about how we can memorize, meditate, and mouth the Word of God. So you don't forget the Word of God. Because if you forget what you heard and you forget what you said, You're like a person that just builds their life on sinking sand. So when the storms and the rains come, which Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 7, you're going to wash out. You're not going to be able to stand because you have forgotten the foundation. And that's the problem we have with a lot of believers. They've forgotten who they are. They don't know who they are. And so subsequently, they just yield over to legalism. It's just easier to follow a bunch of listing and a bunch of rules, a full list, and just think that you're okay. But that's what Jesus is coming and uncovering and letting the people in the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, that it's not what you perform and what you do. It's a heart attitude, a realizing you can't do anything. Jesus Christ did it all for you. So, you can't mix the two. You can't mix law and grace together. That's what Paul said in Romans 11. Let me find it here for you. Romans 11, 6. I love that. Oh, my gosh. Right here it says, he says, and if by grace, now remember, I talked about grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And if by grace, then it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is a works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, works is no longer works. So it's basically what he just said here in Matthew about not serving two masters. He says right here, no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. And James, everybody knows that one pretty much. James 1:5 right here talks about being double-minded. See, that's just double-mindedness when you're trying to serve two masters. It's impossible to do that just by the nature of what slavery is implying. So, but right here in James, look what it says in James chapter 1, verse 5. He says right here, if any one of you lack wisdom, then ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach. So if you're confused, just ask God for wisdom. He'll give that to you. And he goes, and if you are a double-minded man, you will be unstable in all your ways, and you will not receive anything from the Lord. So that's James 1. I kind of modified that. James 1, 5, all the way down to verse 8. So we want to be single-minded, not double-minded. And we want to be givers. But first of all, you got to know what Jesus has given to us. And when you realize what you have inside you, exceedingly abundantly, unquenchable, unlimited resources, you will not have a problem of being a cheerful giver. So it says right here, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And this is the one. It is then no good for nothing but to be trampled on underneath of the feet of men. And that's a beautiful beatitude right there, because when you understand what that salt represents, it's just beautiful. So basically, you are the light of the world. City that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. So we are to be the light. Do not let your light be put in a basket, but put it on a lampstand and give it, and let the light shine through your house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and be glorifying the Father. Isn't that something? So we're to be the light of the world because we have the light on the inside of us. Remember, we were transferred, born again, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, which is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And light's talking about being able to see beyond the physical realms and seeing into the spiritual realm all by faith. And then remember, everything that happens in our physical realm proceeds from the spiritual. So you don't just want to be stuck in a performance-based kind of religion. And you want to have because if you're a born-again believer, you are connected to the Holy Spirit. But you can quench the Holy Spirit by not yielding to it, by not believing what God's word says, and by choosing to follow your five senses and your logic, okay? You can't quench it. You'll still go to heaven, because Paul talked about that in Galatians chapter 5 when he called the Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you. You think you can get born again basically by faith, but now you think you got to keep working out your salvation with your effort to keep your salvation. And he says, no, 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 no. That's like putting a yoke on you. And basically he's talking about legalism, putting extra things on you to make you think that you have to perform to be right with God. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I really want to get this in my spirit so I can teach the difference between legalism and grace. I really want to do that. I have it in my spirit, but it's still not quite ready. God's still got to season me, get more training. But once I get that going, I want to do a series on legalism and grace and just help you see the difference so you can make sure that you are walking by faith and not by sight. Okay, so how do we become a more cheerful giver? Here's how. Hallelujah. Know what's been given to you. Jesus left us the greatest example of how we can be a cheerful giver. And not just with our monies, but with our treasure and our time. He is our best example. He's our imitator because he gave selflessly, okay? Our Savior told us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's in Acts 20:36. Now, Jesus didn't say that. Paul was quoting him, and that's the only quote in the book of Acts that Jesus' words are being quoted. Isn't that beautiful? So Acts 20:35, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So basically, our greatest motivation is to be a cheerful, generous giver. And we should give because when we're giving like that, we're giving out God. We're letting his light shine, and that pleases him and it draws other people towards him. Hallelujah. And the 2 Corinthians reveals a number of inspiring truths that should help us to become more cheerful givers. Paul says and admonishes the Corinthians, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. So, I mean, that just makes sense. I got a garden outside. I got 4 garden plots. And I sow generously. Oh, boy, do we sow. Not just seeds, but time and effort and people and paying and building and all that stuff. You should see our garden. I should take a picture. I think I have put it on Facebook. But we've already eaten greens, onions. We've eaten broccoli, lettuce, carrots, bell peppers. And more greens are coming back. Tomatoes, we got a whole bunch of tomatoes growing out there. We got corn on the cob growing out there. Oh, herbs. I've been eating all kinds of herbs with a salad. So we sow generously and we're reaping back a lot and enough to give, especially when our tomatoes come. Praise God. So this principle about sowing and reaping is so important for us. And he also tells us in Proverbs, David tells us, or Christ tells us, that when we give, it will be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured in our laps. Luke 6:38. Psalms 112:5 says, good will come to him who is generous. Now remember I told you in Psalms chapter 24 that I've opened up with that several times, that we're stewards of everything that we have. Nothing that we have is ours. We need to understand that. And in Psalms 24:1 talks about how God, right here, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell in it. So we don't own anything. We're just stewards of this. So even the stuff that we're getting back and what we're planting is still God's. See, so we have to give. It's not meant for just us. It's meant for us to protect and guard, but also to give so that we can advance his kingdom and not ours. So the principle is clear. It's undeniably clear. We must be cheerful givers. Hallelujah. Because of the character of who we are serving. And so Paul states again, God loves a cheerful giver in 2 Corinthians 9:7. I love that one. Oh, I love that one. Cheerful giving. When you know that you're giving cheerfully into a cause that you know that's advancing the kingdom, you're not just wondering and hoping and all that. No, you know because you're part of that. When you know that, you get a great joy out of that. There's like this sense of, I gave to Christ. I gave to Jesus. I'm being a wise steward of where I'm sowing my money, where I'm sowing my time. That's cheerful giving. Therefore, this has got to be a way of life for believers. And when we understand God's grace, that we can't outgive him, and that we will be that we will be giving generously from a willing heart, not from a grudging heart, not from a heart being motivated by duty and performance and or competing against others or feeling bad or just indifferent to that. See, that's all the flesh stuff. And when I do this grace and law, you're going to see where that flesh is that. Now, the law, let me say this right here, put a disclaimer. The law of God is holy, righteous, and good. There's nothing wrong with the law because it reflects God's character. It shows us our sin, and it helps us to realize if we're thinking right that we can't keep it because you have to keep it 100%. James 2:10 says that if you offend in one area, if you stumble in one area, you stumble in every area. So you can't be like, well, I don't sin this much. I don't sin as much as this person, or I know it's perfect. All that stuff is washed away because if you break one law, you break them all. That's why Jesus Christ died for us, fulfilled the law of God and gave us his power to walk in the energy of the Holy Spirit. So we can give, but you got to realize, first of all, you got to go back to that premises of your position in Christ. What happened to you when you were born again? And what accesses do you have because of that born againness? You have the power, resurrection power, in your gifting, the Holy Spirit gifting, to give cheerfully and perform in his presence. Those are those four P's that we love. King David pointed out everything that we have, 1 Chronicles 29:14, is from God. And this includes our talent, our time, our very life. I talked about that in the last episode. Our very breath belongs to him. And any gifts that we have, that we get from him, therefore each one should use their gifts. This is your spiritual gifts too. And you know what's a shame? A lot of believers don't know their spiritual gifts. Hey, if you don't know your spiritual gifts, call me. I will help you discover your gifts. It's easy as pie. Jesus said, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And in 1 John 5, he said that God's... He said that God's laws are not burdensome. So you don't have to think that the law of God is burdensome and it's hard and it's just, you know, something else that you have to do. You know, it really isn't. You know, I had somebody tell me just today, I don't remember all the details, but it was like I had to remind this person that, you know, God's laws aren't like a list of things that you have to do. They really aren't. They're not burdensome. You know, it's you do what you do and you're motivated, like Jesus was teaching in the Beatitudes, from a pure heart, from his heart. And when you're motivated from his heart, then it's a relationship. It's an intimate love relationship. And you give because you love him so much for what he has done. The word burdensome and making a list and adding this and adding that on top of something, that doesn't even play in that role. When you really start walking in the grace and the Spirit of God, oh, praise his holy name. So our talents, our life, our gift, our days are numbered. I think about that. I'm going to be 71 this month, and my days are numbered, Psalms 139:16. So my time that I have, the rest of the time that I have on this earth, my time belongs to him. And so what my goal is, my quest is in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where it says the word of God, all the word of God is God inspired, and it is profitable. It is profitable for a doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, training in righteousness in Christ. He's the only righteous person there is, in Christ, training for righteousness, so that the people of God, the man or the woman of God, can be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's my destiny. That's my purpose, to teach the word of God. The whole counsel of God as the way the Lord gives it to me. And the why is because of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. But it also goes on to say, but so many people reject God, reject Christ, because they love the darkness more than they love light. That's why we got to let our light shine. Hallelujah. So they can see that this is a real relationship that we have with God. Excuse me. And any gifts that we have, we get from him. Therefore, each one of us, we need to share our gifts and give them away, faithfully administering what he has given us according to the grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. Hallelujah. Again, God loves us so much, and we should remember so well that he saved us. You should remember your salvation. You should remember a time that God saved you, and you should remember that he still loves you. And if you are genuine with your salvation, there's nothing that can separate you from God. You need to read that list in Romans 8. The very end of Romans 8, what is it, Romans 8, 30, 35, 36, 37, 38, there's a list in there of things that Paul says nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you can do if you're born again and genuine and accepted Christ and your personal Lord and Savior, no matter how much you backslide, you know, because it says right there in Hosea, he is your faithful husband and always married to the backslider. But right here in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulations or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or swords? And then he goes on, yet in all these things I am more than a conqueror. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate him from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. So nothing can separate you. So you can repent and come back, because you don't want to think you're saved and you're not. And this is what the Beatitudes are all about. I encourage you to read the Beatitudes. Pray and ask God to open your eyes and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because Jesus clearly puts it out there. He draws a line and says, basically, it's not about what you do. It's about what he has done. It's not about what you think you shouldn't do. It's about what he's already done. And so many people think that they need to do something, add something to what Christ has already done. And that's not the way it works, brothers and sisters. All you have to do is admit you have nothing within you. You repent of your sins and call on the name of the Lord and ask for mercy. And you do that every day. Once you get born again, when you're studying your word of God, you're constantly detoxing and renewing your mind. That's that wax on, wax off. You're constantly renewing your mind with the word of God, getting rid of old toxic memories that maybe have held you back for centuries. Well, maybe not centuries, but held you back for years. And that's causing you to be bitter, causing you to be hold unforgiveness, holding grudges against people, or fear stopping you from going forward when you know God has called you, or you're not talking to somebody in your family, or you're just stingy with your money, and you basically control your life. I mean, you know the old saying, if you don't do it, it won't get done. Well, God has already done it for you. And somebody needs what you have out there. And you need to broaden your vision. You need to broaden your circle. Extend your tent pegs out. And get out of yourself and get into Christ. Because there's so much more out there that needs to be done. The harvest is ready. The laborers are few. Not because they're not there, but because they're so stuck in themselves. So brothers and sisters, we need to learn to be generous givers. And as children, we are called to be the light of the world in Matthew 5:14. When we trust God and honor him and we generously give our time, our life, our treasures, our talents, our gifts, we are truly letting our light shine before men. And our goodness will reflect the radiancy and the glory of our Father which is in heaven, because that's what he said he will do. But brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to let him do that. We really do. And I pray that you will take these series that I've done and maybe go back and listen to them over and over again. You can't just listen to something once. You know that. But, you know, I just say, how bad do you want to live out what God has created you to be? I want it bad. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Here, there, everywhere we go. I want to become all what God wants me to be while I still have time to do it. Don't you, as a believer? Don't you want more out of life and more out of Christ when there's like a unlimited resources for you? And so you're going to have to turn off some things. You're going to have to, like I said, wax off and wax on. You're going to have to turn off some things and put on some things. But if you're content just going like the 9-to-5 kind of a thing, and just content just, you know, living a carnal life, hey, I guess that's what you're content doing. But why? Why would you want to live a carnal, defeated, perpetually bondage-like kind of a Christian life when Jesus Christ came to give you freedom and to give you truth and so you could live an abundant life? So if that abundant life wasn't there, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But it's there, and I believe it. And I believe there's many of you out there listening that want to become all what God has called you to be. So start off by going through the Beatitudes. Read the Gospel of Matthew. That's where Jesus is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let him rule and reign over your life so that you can become a cheerful giver. And that people will see your light shine. Because somebody out there is hurting. Somebody out there needs you. Somebody's crying. I wrote a letter to a neighbor across the street that I could tell that was hurting. I just met her about, I don't know, maybe about 6 months ago. We hardly talked. But I wrote her a letter, mailed it to her. And today, after 3 weeks, she responded to me today. but she saw the love of God. Just let the Lord lead you in a way that you can glorify Him. Hey, I love you. Let your light shine, and I'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.
Just the other day, she smiled and she said, well, I'm doing okay, but I felt a pain. I took her hand in mine, said it's gonna work out fine. But as she turned, I wondered, did I just pander a line? What she needed most was a word of hope, a prayer or two, a little more time and a timely word could have pulled her through. So I think of her and I wonder too, is anybody hurting and sitting right next to you? Shine the light, share your faith, show the world that Jesus is the answer, Jesus is the way. Together we can make a difference, be a beacon in the dark of night. Share your faith, hold it high, shine the light. Anywhere you go, any country road or city street, any lonely life, a hurting heart, somebody in need, they all ask one thing, where is love and truth? But if you know Jesus, then you know what to do. Shine the light, share your faith, show the world that Jesus is the way. Together we can make a difference, be a beacon in the dark of night. Share your faith, hold it high, shine the light. Let your light so shine, so everybody will see Jesus. Let your light so shine, to glorify your Father. Shine.